Do you want to start about telling me about your family?
Pardon?
Why don't we start by you telling me about your family? How many children did your father have?
My father had 10.
How many?
4 girls and 6 boys. Put us all through Strathcona School.
Strathcona
School. We lived in East End at that time, mm-hmm. at Hastings Street.
And did you have to go to Chinese school?
Later on, yes.
What did you learn?
As you grew up, you know, to when you got about, you know, so we can get around, you see, 11 or 12 year old, you see. Well, my dad made us go to Chinese night school. Well, that was all right. Because we only went from 5 to 7. And we had to rush home, which was about 4 blocks away. We lived on 458 Hastings Street, whereas the Chinese school was in way down Carroll Street. Well, anyhow, we walked home every night, so we can take up our English studies, homework, you see. And we did that for years and years. Mm-hmm. And that's why I learned quite a lot of Chinese. And, of course, I have no trouble speaking because that's my mother's tongue, you see.
What language did you speak at home?
At home? Oh, I spoke mostly in English. But talk to my mother, I talk Chinese.
Tell me about your father. How did your father serve the Chinese community?
Pardon?
How did your father serve the Chinese community?
Well, he went to school when he was quite young, on his own, you know. Whenever he had a chance, he went back to school. To learn English. But how he learned in Chinese, I don't know. He used to read the newspaper too. I said, Dad, how do you read the newspaper? Oh, I keep him reading and asking questions. I began to know the different characters, one from another, you see. And he could talk it, you know, quite fluently. Because he's mixing with the Chinese all the time, you see. He got so that there was a job in a police court as an interpreter. He just took a chance on it, and as time went on, he got better. He mixed with more Chinese, and he studied the Chinese himself. By reading newspapers and periodicals and things like that. So he got on pretty good. Until he took that job for about 40 years. Well, I would say 35.
So then he went to court every
day. I took over.
He went to court every day.
Every day, he never missed. As a matter of fact, when we used to live on Hastings Street in the 400 block, the police used to call and either send the police patrol or send some car, take him down there. They need him down there as an interpreter.
What kinds of cases did he work on?
What's that?
What kind of cases were the Chinese brought into court for?
Oh, mostly gambling. Yeah, mostly gambling, smoking opium. Those days, at first they didn't put restrictions on it. They were allowed to sell opium in Chinatown. I used to see the stores dishing it out. In these plastic celluloid jars, toothy stores in Chinatown did a pretty good business.
Were the Chinese treated fairly in court?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They all did treat them fairly in court. I could say that for a fact because I worked there, so I know. Oh, they didn't kick them around at all, even upstairs. I went up upstairs in the jail, interviewed some of the Chinese with the police there and everything. Treated them really like they were treated their own white people. No, they never kicked them around. Of course, the Chinese, he pretty docile anyhow. He doesn't, unless he had a few drinks under his belt, you know. Well, even then, your cousin, you get one that really, real kick up a stink in the court, you know. They have tight, you see. But if he hadn't drink, he didn't do any drinking, well, then he's all right.
Your father was a really busy man.
Pardon?
Your father was busy. He was very busy in the community.
He was. He joined the Chinese Benevolent Association, and he was a past president 1 year, and he joined the Chinese Empire Reform Association. And that's when China had the monarchy. Yeah. My dad used to bring us, those of us who are old enough, used to attend their meetings. And periodically, they put a little, everything was going ahead so fast that the educator class, and those who had money, Chinese, you know, felt that it'd been a good idea in the eyes of the white people if we would give these periodic meetings, call all the young Chinese together. And very Chinese go up to speak, teaching people, Chinese young students, how to act in front of white people, and to where, when they go to school, try to talk English, try to learn the language, and things like that, and to act, to even give out handkerchiefs to blow their nose, and wipe the sweat off their brow, to show that the Chinese were brought up. And that did a mighty lot of good. And they had educated Chinese go up there and lecture us in Chinese. So when we went back to school, we know how to act better than the white man. As far as manners are concerned, the Chinese, they went back to school to study and nothing else. And they really, I could really, because I was amongst them. I could say that the Chinese, as far as department and school, there's no other class of people who would act like the Chinese. And They put their mind on it. As it went up in the grades, Chinese worked first, second, third. They really don't like me because they went back to school to learn something and not to horse around, you know. That's what I say. Even I try to get at the head of the list, you know. I think I did all right. I came home, did a lot of homework. But certainly the teachers and the principals and always treated Chinese with respect because educationally we were ahead of the white men because we put our minds in it. See, we're going to school, we know what education means to you when you grow up. So we put everything we had in it.
When you were a boy, did you go to church?
No. No, my father, I'll tell you, sent my older brothers and sisters to attend the English church. You know that church at the corner of Hastings and Gore Avenue, that big church in the corner there? He used to send my sisters and brothers every Sunday. But things got, after several years, they felt that they couldn't take it, my brother and sister, because white people felt, the young people, because this is our church. No Chinese should be around here. If we study Christ, what do they know about Christ? Why should they come in our midst and learn the teachings of Christ? We got so that they used to call it chinks and everything, you see, so my father had to stop it. And we went for several years. But of course, I wasn't old enough then, but my other four, older than I was, they felt as though they couldn't, which they did. But although it was a good experience, the church, all kinds of people, a lot of them go there for it because they want to study that religion. Some go there to kill time. And those people who went there to kill time, those are the people who laugh at us Chinese attending their church. But anyhow, my father finally had to give it up.
What did your father do for relaxation?
Father, I'll tell you, I can honestly say that he spent a lot of time on his own gardens, growing flowers, cutting grass, pruning trees. Oh, yeah, he did it all himself, you know. And we'd help him cut the grass. He bought lawnmowers back and everything. And keep the house in shipshape. Clean the backyard. We had a few chickens, too. Oh, yeah, see, he did a lot of work around there. Because we lived in a white man's district, set off in Chinatown.
That's when you moved in on Hastings? Byron? This is Hastings Street or up to Grandview?
Hastings, in a 400 block. In those days, there were all residents there, but not a lot of buildings there now.
Why did you live there? Why did he live away from Chinatown?
Well, because it was getting too congested there, and the house was getting too small. Because we had such a big family. We had 10 boys and girls, a mother and father, and that made 12. You've got to have a pretty big house.
So he
went up to Grandview. That's a new district then. He bought 2 lots, and he built a 5-bedroom house. 3 stories, right up to the top of the attic. Yeah, nice house. It was just torn down a few years ago when they put an apartment house there. Yeah.
Were you the only Chinese family living there?
Pardon?
Were you the only Chinese family living there?
Yes, that's right.
How did the neighbors treat you?
Oh, they didn't treat us bad at all because we all talk English. And we mix the white boys and white girls there. They come to our house too. Oh, yes. We never had any trouble at all. It's the way we conducted ourselves. They see the way we dress and everything, don't call a chink or monkey or Chinaman or anything like that. Occasionally we had one, you know, but as a rule, they never impose on us. But we knew just as much as they did. And we talked their language. But most of the Chinese, when they got together, they talked their own language. And the white boys seemed to object to that. And criticize them or imitate them and talk Chinese. Makahars and things like that, you know, the curse words, you know, every nationality learns curse words first.
So where did you go? Did you go to high school there?
Yes.
Which high school did you go
to? Britannia. Yeah, all my brothers and sisters went through Britannia.
Yeah.
Because they weren't 6 blocks away. That's when we moved up to Grandview, see. And Dad built that big house, that 3-story house, on 2 lots. Well, that was one of the nicest houses in Grandview.
When you were a teenager,
yeah.
What did you do for fun?
Pardon?
What did you do for fun?
Fun?
Yeah.
Oh, we played with the white people, the white boys and girls. Play ball and things like that. My sister played with the white girls, see. And I played with the white boys. And no Chinese play with. And the white boys, because we kept up with them, we talked their lingo just as good as they can. And,
Would you go places?
We got along.
Did you go places together?
Pardon?
Did you go places together?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Where would you go?
Well, we'd go to the ball ground, play ball, or go picnic, start in the park. And when I got my teens, I bought a bicycle. I used to go around with white boys all the time, in groups, you see. Oh, we had lots of fun together. But occasionally we'll strike somebody that's just Chinaman living with them. Occasionally we get it. But we learn to talk back.
What would you say?
Pardon?
What did you say to talk back?
I swear just as much as I do. That's why we got along. You fella want to fight, we'll fight you. When I went up there when they moved in the Grandview, some of those boys, because I was Chinese, they're trying to make trouble for me. Call me names and everything, want to fight me. I said, you want to fight so bad? Why don't you start a fight? So the other white boy, a lot of them like me. Hey, put a stick on his shoulder. Tell him to knock it down. So this white boy put a stick on my shoulder. He said, you knock that down, there's a fight going on. As soon as he did that, I was ready with him. Before he even got a chance to get near me, I got a little closer to him and I sucked him in the jaw and knocked him flat on the ground. Of course, the stick fell down. Well, I hit him at the same time. He was watching the stick, you see. He wasn't watching my fist. Ever after that, he thank God after that. He called me and everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, my friend. Oh, I was his friend after that. Oh, yeah, we never had trouble in school at all. Well, most of the time, John, you never had trouble in school. I went to South Kona to begin to have a lot of Chinese there. But they never had any scraps. I've heard some see it occasionally, they have Chink or Chinaman or something like that, but not enough to start a war and start a fight.
What did you do after you graduated from high school?
Pardon?
What did you do after you graduated from high school?
I went to study law. I wanted to get an article. You see, we have no law school here. So the law society established one, private one. And naturally, I want to join it. So I got an article with barristers and solicitors that had lots of dealing with my father. They gladly accept me. They used to give me books, they used to study. But I said, they haven't given me a reply to whether they accept me or not. Oh, no, why not? That'll come eventually. See? But I studied law there for about 2.5 years in the law office. I learned a lot of law, and I was interpreting too in the courts. I learned a lot from that. So they articled me. I would have been a lawyer. Nothing to it. All you do, you can read the law books. You can be a lawyer and use the law books to argue with. But anyhow, they wouldn't article me, and finally I gave it up. They told my the lawyers told my dad to find it out, get a lot of. Well, get a writ of mandamus compelling to register you. Well, the lawyers want money. So I finally gave it up. And at that time, I was going to Chinese school every night. I learned a lot of Chinese. But I forgot a lot of it, too, because I don't use it. But that Chinese school certainly helped me out in my interpreting, because I know what I was saying. And Chinese, it treated me with respect. Didn't don't need them kua when they told some say humana, don't know open yila, bokamua. I was expecting something like that. But I got their respect because I knew much Chinese they did. I could write it too, write letters and everything. But of course I've forgotten it now. I have a hell of a time writing letters now. I have a little trouble keep my dentures. It makes it a little difficult to talk.
You're doing fine.
Pardon?
You're doing fine.
Huh?
You're talking very well. Don't worry.
So well, I had a lot of fun going to school.
When you were a notary public.
Yeah, after that.
After that.
When they quit me, wouldn't let me study law, I said, well, I'll try for a notary public. I was the first Chinese you got, you see.
The first Chinese notary public?
Oh, yes, first Chinese.
What did the Chinese come to you for? What kind of work would the Chinese bring to you as a notary public?
All kinds. Anything needs an explanation in Chinese, come to me. Oh, I did good business. I wore out a couple of seals and made new ones.
Why don't you tell Paul you make lease, you make contract, you make, can you convince the property? Tell Paul Yee, you make convince, you make lease, you make will, you make contract.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, anything is in the law books, okay. If you know where to find it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, I don't care what any kind of a document I can make, because it's in the law books. You take the law books and you apply it to your particular case. Hey, the register I never turned it down. Mm-hmm. No, it was passed. Mm-hmm. And all these legal documents. You want them to be of any value, you have to register them in the law courts before they're any good.
Do you know the name David Liu?
David?
Liu. David Liu.
Yeah, sure.
Why was he shot?
Pardon?
Why was he shot?
Well, I'll tell you. It all started in Nanaimo. Chinatown by itself on the crest of a hill. Isolated from all other nationality. Had a rig of Chinatown there. Chinatown, you gotta have gaming houses. But they had about 3-4 gaming houses there. And he put up a theater there so they could have occasionally Chinese show. Oh, they had everything there. He chops their house and everything. And it was on a place about a block and a half long, a block and a half wide. All Chinese living, two-story buildings there, and some built the houses on the edge of Chinatown. But I'll tell you the reason why David Liu was shot and killed. Because he wanted to run Chinatown in Nanaimo. Run it the way he told them to run it. And not only that, he acted as two pigeons, get them raided occasionally. But he'd have two teeth joints under his control. The police don't touch it. Maybe he buys them off, see? So this came up year in, year out. Finally, the Chinese in Nanaimo, Chinatown, organized to get him. He's very careful when he goes to Chinatown in Nanaimo. Go with a bodyguard. Vancouver here, you don't need a bodyguard. One night, they were waiting for him. right at the Sun Peking restaurant, right? As he was taking that step, go upstairs. Because he go up there to each house. They killed him right there. They pumped about 5 bullets in him. Killed him dead. Well, they got the man all right. They found him guilty. But they didn't hang him. They kept him in prison for a while. And finally, he'd been in jail long enough. The Attorney General made it possible for him to be released, providing he go back to China. And that's what happened. As soon as he went back to China, he died. That's the last of that story.